Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, we go over all the ins and outs of this Super Bowl. I have some good stories for you. Christy Bishop's going to come in here, Brian's better half, and we'll do some commercial grade, break down some of the commercials from the Super Bowl. First, Bet Online, NFL season. Well, it's over, but the action in basketball, hockey, UFC, that continues. Visit our exclusive partner at Podcast One, Bet Online. Take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account, promo code Podcast One for a 50% sign up bonus. NBA, Phillies at Miami, San Antonio at Lakers, Houston at Lakers as well. UFC, we got Jones versus Reyes Saturday, February. Well, that's coming up, man. Get in on that. Jones has to be a favorite in that fight. Visit BetOnline. Don't forget, promo code PODCAST1 to receive a 50% sign-up bonus. Do it today. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. It's BetOnline. And sign up now. Get that 50% off. Do that bonus. Do it today. BetOnline.com.
From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, comedian Akilah Hughes. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and Christy Bishop stops by to give her commercial grade on this year's Super Bowl commercials. And now, wishing it was Gina about to get into a bathing suit in his pool, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. And thanks for telling a friend. We love when you share. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
Handball, Brian. Yeah.
I'm so warm and dry.
It was, you know, it was. It's cool out here, but it's windy. And getting out of the pool this morning really took it to a new level.
It's real windy. Knocked down my sunshades. You know, those like canvas sails you put over for shade in the backyard. Knocked them down. Knocked all my lights down.
Oy.
Windy. Had to get up at 1:30 in the morning and connect them.
Air is one of those things. I mean, when you see M1 Abram tanks, 3, 4, 5, being loaded into a military transport, and that thing just taxis and takes off.
It's
if you've
badass.
Ever been next to a tank, it's like the heaviest, you know, it's the heaviest 150 square feet on the planet. It's so thick. Everything about it is heavy. Mm. And when you see them just rolling into the back of those planes, and then the thing just takes off.
How?
It's nuts.
War against gravity.
It's nuts. It's weird. It's that and, how much steel is in an aircraft carrier or battleship. You know, how much stuff. Obviously, there's nothing that floats in there except for, you know, the koozie that the commander has around.
Floaty keychain.
And his keychain. Yeah,
Admiral of the Year.
Right, right. Yeah, so it's interesting. I went to... I'll get into it tomorrow, but I took the kids to the Kobe Memorial Game, and that was a crazy experience and a little surreal.
Could you even get through? I mean, there were thousands of people outside.
Yeah. I was trying to do Waze. I was trying to figure out if Waze was factoring in
the crowds.
The crowds are just like, here's how long it takes to get to this address. But I did the like gate one thing, and Waze went, here's how long. And it wasn't, you know, it was 38 minutes or something. There was a lot of people, but they weren't really like in the streets or blocking anything. And they had it cordoned off and everything. And it was obviously it's bizarre, emotional, and had just tons of pre this and also during the halftime and everything, and I took some film and I'll share all that with you tomorrow.
Please.
Because it's football day, so there's that to talk about.
Let's talk about actually.
You know, the thing,
season's over, it's baseball season. Woo!
The beauty of football is when there was 7 minutes and 13 seconds left in the game and San Francisco was up 20-10. I was just thinking, I start to feel bad for Gina and the rest of the KC fans and whatever. Now it's third and 15, and he's just going to chuck the ball up into the sky. It's literally just that pass, that play, that pass. That's it. There's 7 minutes left. It's third and 15. Yeah. Third and 15 against San Francisco's defense.
Yeah, that game ends very differently if that play doesn't land.
I don't know what it is, but your conversion of third and 15s against San Francisco's defense is less than 20%.
Third and 15? I imagine it's in the single digits.
It may be. Yeah. I mean, obviously, it depends who you're playing, but it's a low percentage. Yes. Hey, under 20%, you wouldn't do it on a roulette wheel. Yeah.
No.
So they complete that pass, and, you know, there's a controversial sort of pushing off on
nullified the 42-yard catch by George Kittle.
And the it's a weird rule because everyone – and the refs let them play for the most part. Mm-hmm. They just let everyone play, which was pretty good. It's like one of these things where it's kind of like Shaq. They wouldn't call anything on Shaq back in the day. You could hack away at him and push him as much. I mean, you could hack a Shaq and send him to the line. But what I'm saying is,
they get the more leeway when you're dealing with
when
Shaq.
One guy's big, like Kittle's big, and you have a small DB, the penalty, the pushing off, it's sort of exacerbated or severe, whatever. That's it could have been a non-call. He still pushed off. It was like I wasn't feeling one way or the other. It was 10-10 going into the half. Halftime show, Jesus Christ. It was a lot of ass and crotch flying.
A lot of lip.
Wonder if they lost their side boob bets on BetOnline.
They were betting the wrong region of the body.
I also realized that I think the Latino culture that, you know, I'm always reluctant to compliment. I
can't wait to hear this.
But I think they got their ass ratio about right.
Meaning?
Well, Whitey is a little skinny in the ass department. Black man's going way off, way over the deep end with the ass. Right. They have their ass
dialed in.
Yeah, they're dialed in. Like they realize what that was meant to do. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah.
What its purpose really is.
It's not too big and bulbous and crazy. It's not too flat and scrawny. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying white guys like it, but the flat and scrawny ass, but I'm just saying that ass. That is
somewhere
ass.
Between Gwyneth and Nicki Minaj.
Yeah. They've tapped into a good. They've struck a balance there. A nice balance. It was very ass centric and crotch centric.
My daughter was dancing right in front of the TV. I felt very mixed emotions about that.
There was a poll.
I don't want to. I'm the least uptight guy on the planet. My feeling is like the halftime show. Is visual to some degree, but then it's audible to another, like to hear a band play or the music or whatever. At some point when one kind of eclipses the other, when it's just movement, like it's so much, it's sort of like, it's like when an action movie gets too deep into the franchise and it's lights up and Godzilla's running down, you know, Tokyo and it's like, it's too much. Like at a certain point, my feeling is like
Transformers effect.
Bring it, scale it back a little. Yeah, it doesn't have to be all movement, all crotch, all ass, like this all the time. Like this, you know, break it up by picking up an acoustic guitar and strumming it and doing a quiet, you know, 30 seconds of a ballad
just
or something.
Second.
Like that, just like a big pile of sequins and
fringe
flying and ass and crotch.
There's no subtlety in the Super
halftime
show.
Nuance.
It was amazing, and it really is like. The thing that's amazing about it is it's why this country is great. This country is great because you take a place like you say, all right, you take a place like Germany. They'd be real good at having all the mechanicals of it. Like you got to push a whole stage up there, lock it all off.
The trains are on time.
Yeah, all that. But then who's performing and where are all the singers and the backups and the musicians?
Der Kermissar!
Right. And then, you know, like, I don't know, Mexico, aforementioned Mexico, they're good at the ass shaking. I don't know if they'd get the, somebody would fall off of one of those risers or put their foot through it or something like that.
Those aren't OSHA equipped.
This is our beauty is we got a group of people that are manufacturing those risers. I mean, we got a group of dudes that are fabricating all that stuff. That's not like stuff from last year, stuff we use every year, or just, you know, a bunch of shopping carts with plywood on top. I'm like, somebody's pushing it all out there and locking it all in 3.5 minutes or 4.5 or whatever the time allotted is. Then they're doing all the lighting stuff. Plus, we got all the gay backup dancers and hot chicks and all that kind of stuff. That one halftime show. Then you have the stadium that it's in.
Yep. Yeah.
You have
coordinating blinking wristbands in the crowd.
The team, the crowd, the fireworks at the end, the aerial shots, just the cameras in the aerial shots. Just all of that, that one 7.5 minutes, that's this country. That's what we can do.
Yeah.
That's what we do do. That's us at our best. No. That is not, you can't go to the Middle East and pull that off. You can't go almost anywhere and pull that off. We do that.
Perfect balance.
It's impressive.
Yeah, well, we do that because we're like this smorgasbord of the background dancer guy sure as hell can't weld. He can't fabricate the riser, but the riser guy can't kick his foot over his head either. So that's that's the beauty of us. It's why we win wars.
Yeah.
We got the guys good at planning.
Everyone's
and we got
doing doing their specialty.
Guys good at jumping, you know, rappelling off a helicopter.
Sure.
That's us.
Yeah.
That's
well
us,
said.
Baby. You need it. You need it. That's why we're number one. Ask Mike August.
I have a football question for you.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I was recorded. My response, my pseudo-hysterics were recorded at the end of the game, and Kalen has that. But as you know, I don't really understand football very well.
It hurts even more.
That's why I like watching the World Series, because everybody understands baseball. But I love Kansas City. I'm from Kansas City. The town goes nuts for this. It's just the best. So I was real into it and really trying to pay attention, trying to understand. Stand. Toward the end, and get ready for this description because I don't know how to do it.
Who had the ball?
The Chiefs.
Don't say hiker.
A chief had the ball, and he was right at the corner by the end zone, and he brought the football around that little pole.
The motherfucker was out of bounds.
Yeah,
but they couldn't figure out what was up with his foot. But it looked like he made such an effort to bring the ball around the pylon. Is that a rule that if the ball is on that side, it's fine?
Yeah.
But so who cared about the foot?
Well, if the foot goes out before the ball crosses, then it's not a touchdown.
Okay. It's
where the ball is when that foot touches out of bounds.
And it had a teeny tiny toe on the white, right?
When that teeny tiny toe touched the white, it's where the ball is. That ball's is on the pylon or
first,
on the line and the goal line, as it were?
Okay.
30 of these, this was eight angles. They couldn't really figure it out. I personally
they showed to eight terrible angles.
I know they did.
I was like, where's the sideline cam?
I personally, here's my thing. Here's the way I roll. First off, when you go sailing out of bounds, I don't like it. I don't like that a touchdown. I don't like when Tom Brady jumps up, holds the ball over the goal line, and then pulls it back in. That you're screwing with the spirit. Okay. I want you to punch it in.
Okay,
not
find a
punch
loophole.
In. Come and then pull back and then go home.
Don't go full Shabbos going.
Yeah, I want you in that end zone. I don't like it when you're holding it over and tumbling out of the side of the end
zone. Not just the tip.
Zone.
Don't tease us.
Yes,
get it
yes.
in there.
I don't like that. I like a definitive, satisfying. Earlier in the game, second quarter, I think tight end 44. He
Juszczyk.
Caught a touchdown and he just went sailing
in.
He just went like satisfying, all leading. Right. So that's me. On the other hand, I get a little philosophical about it because if you don't get in, then the ball's just on the 1-inch line and you're probably going to, with Mahomes as a quarterback, you're probably going to punch it in. But either way, I don't like that. And also, I don't like when they go, well, we made a call on the field. We don't really know, but there's not enough to overturn it. I don't like that rule of not enough to overturn, but I feel like they would have punched it in. Anyway, it also, considering there's 30 of these that happen during the course of the season now, where it's like, I don't know. Did the ball touch the ground? Right. Did they get in? I've been watching football since I was a kid. There must just be tons and tons and tons of this never, I mean, good calls, bad calls, unreviewable, nothing's reviewable. They didn't have instant replay, even if it was reviewable. Right. It's not, there's no such thing as reviewable. Like, how many games did this cost us?
Now, we'll have to verify this, but from my memory, that play we just looked at with the toe out of bounds and the ball just on the goal line, I think that was a third down play.
Yeah.
So you say they were an inch away, they probably...
Yeah. They would have gone for it.
Now, that if it was first and an inch, absolutely.
It'd be fourth and an inch. And
don't forget the Niners got into the number one seed by stopping a play that was at the 1-inch line.
Yeah, no, it could have. They could have stopped them. They have a super mobile quarterback who probably would have done something, done his weird spinners. A tandem move where they spun around and he probably would have punched it in. Or if he doesn't punch it
it's
in,
likely,
then now the San Francisco's got to go 99 and a half yards the other way. Right. But I don't like that as a touchdown. It doesn't feel satisfying. I've said it many, many times. I just don't like the punch in or he didn't get in. I don't really like when the offensive linemen push them in, which they didn't do in the past. They used to call that a lot more. They don't really call it anymore.
You can't carry the guy, but you can push him. Now you can push him.
I had a they used to call pushing the guy into – there was some, hand to helmet and helmet to helmet shots and stuff that they did not call in this Super Bowl. And I'm glad. They let him play. It was a good Super Bowl.
Would you like to see my reaction to the very end?
Yes, I would.
This Andy taped it. I didn't realize he was doing this.
Is that the end of the game?
Oh,
that was not me.
Sure.
I'm wearing it again today.
Good for you. 50 years.
I had a long weekend. I needed some good news.
You didn't know he was taping you mugged for the camera.
No, he cut it to that part.
Okay.
They are dancing. The sportsmen are dancing.
I just needed something good to happen yesterday.
Well, San Fran's got four rings. Five rings. Oh, yeah.
Four with Montana and one with Young.
Oh, is it only one with Young?
It was against the Chargers in 94, whatever it was.
I think Young had two.
Well, he had some as a backup, but he only won one as a starter.
Oh, he only won one as a starter.
Don't test Brian on this.
Yeah,
this is an area I know a lot about.
I thought he won two Super Bowls. I mean, I thought he started and won two Super Bowls.
So my biggest question is, Brian, are we thinking Speedo? Are we thinking naked?
I typically bathe naked, so if Adam, you're okay with me being around your 13-year-olds.
I'm fine. They'll probably be at school.
Well, speaking of shrinkage.
That joke went around a lot last night.
I had a, speaking of concerns.
Brutal.
So Mike August said he's coming over to watch the Super Bowl, and he said, can I bring my contractor with me? He's a big dude. He's a big fan. I met him once. He's just a big fan. And I say, yeah, okay. And then Mike says, hey, I finished my backyard with this contractor. I have 25 of these 2-foot by 2-foot yard pavers out in my back, and I'm done. Do you want them for your house? And I said, yeah, I got a spot for those. And then he's like, well, I told my contractor he could come watch the Super Bowl with us. So I'll have him bring over the pavers on his way over. And I said, okay. And then it was just weird timing that I came walking. I opened my garage door. I was going to go row for 25 minutes and then get Sonny and the girls and take them to the Super Bowl and all that. And this guy pulled up. And he's got these pavers. And he's like, oh, I'm a big fan. I'm a huge fan. Mr. Carolla, thank you so much. And hey, any help you need or whatever. I said, yeah, no. He had them all in the back of his truck. I reach over and pick one of them. It was really heavy. And my hands were hurting, and I was like, just unload them and put them, just stack them right there, which is not normally a move of mine. I'm normally jump in because I feel bad. I'm like, hey, I'm a dude. I'm a blue-collar dude. But I was like, my hands are hurting. I want to row, and then I want to leave. So I said, just dump them off, and I'll see you at 3, and blah, blah, blah. And then at a certain point, you have a few drinks at the party, you're eating, you're moving around, you're saying hi to people, and at some point, Mike says to me, the contractor, his name's escaping me, but it's like, he had to leave. And I'm like, what happened? He's like, he was sitting there just covered in sweat watching the game, and Mike's like, what's wrong with you? And he's like, I don't know, I don't feel good. And then Mike's like, we got to get you to urgent care or something, and Mike just took him to urgent care. Had hernia.
Oh, my God.
Yes, and had to have surgery Super Bowl Sunday.
From lifting your shit?
I guess so.
Oh, no.
He deserves a fruit basket.
I know. And he was so pumped about watching the Super Bowl and hanging out and everything. And he got there early and he's like, I'll help you set up. Do you want me to help you spread stuff out? Blah, blah, blah. And, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How do you feel?
There's two, and there's also a couple things I learned.
Hands didn't
hurt. Sal's, can we eliminate this or can we have a way to monitor us when we get older? What happens, old people, I'm thinking specifically of Cousin Sal's dad and his friend, old people do two things. They show up way too early, and then at some point in life, old people are sort of like hot blondes when they're 16. Like they have no context for anything. So what they do is they show up early. And then you get there and I'm literally changing the toilet seat. One of them had the lid broken off. I was putting a new toilet seat on and then I'm putting this together. And I'm like, and they stand and they block you and they go,
always pretending I'm not here.
Hey, I saw you on Tucker Carlson. And you go, okay, listen, sit down, have a beer, enjoy. I'm up against it. I got to pick up the food. I got to empty the trash. I'm delegating. It's this, that, and there. And then they come and they just stand next to you while you're doing. And at some point you start getting agitated. Yep. Okay, but don't show up early. And then if you do show up really early,
don't hover.
Can't hover. Running around. Just sit down, crack a Fresca. I'll be with you. At some point, there's some curt conversation where you go, I'm really busy right now. We will have this conversation.
Nope, pretend like I'm not here.
I know you like cars. I'm in the Cadillac Club. It's like, oh, yes, it's good. You know, some of those in the 30s are okay, please, just sit down. Just sit down. I'm doing the paper towels. I'm emptying the trash. I'm trying to get the toilet seat on. And you're talking my ear off, which I know I sound like an asswipe, but I'm saying is, you may do that, but you can't show up 2 hours early and do that.
Right.
You have to. The parents, when they come over for Thanksgiving, it's like, where's Lynette? She's in the shower. Oh, well, don't mind us. Where's the bottle opener? Just don't show up. Yeah. Nothing's out.
We started telling Christy's grandpa a different time.
You got to.
Yeah, different time. Staggered arrival times.
Yes.
Can I say that? Y'all.
We love the man, but.
Look, if we're going to meet at the fucking diner for breakfast at 11 a.m., then if you want to show up at 9:45,
by all means.
By all fucking means. But you can't come to the house an hour and 25 minutes early. It's not even just an hour and 25. It's crunch time. It's like people are literally getting out of showers and laying stuff out, trying to open wine bottles, and you're just standing next to the person, agitating them.
Yes, and I don't know if this is Midwestern, but there was a family friend that for every high holiday, everything, they're always 2 hours early. It freaked the family out. No, same situation, still making the kugel for God's sake, and they always said the same thing, and I don't know if this is Midwestern. Knock, knock. The early birds are here.
Right. Yeah,
it's annoying.
Mom's thing.
Like, you're proud.
My mom's thing was always like, we didn't know how long traffic. Like, you live in North Hollywood. Yeah. I'm in Deep Glendale. It's Thursday.
So
it's Thanksgiving. There's nobody at work.
12 minutes tops.
It's going to be somewhere between 9 and 13 minutes. Why give yourself an hour 25 for it? Like, we didn't know about that. But also, the shit starts at 4. Do you think it'd be 4:15? I'd be tapping my foot. Look at my watch. Where is she?
Lock the doors. Lock the gates.
Where is she? I'm gonna call all the police municipalities in the metro area to find out what happened.
APB for disinterested
persons. Yes, you just show up a couple minutes late. I don't. Anyway, God bless them. They're nice guys. No, but I just realized it's the young people were like scurrying about setting stuff up, and the young guys were just hovering, hanging and talking. Mm-hmm. Like, I was literally just putting a toilet seat on, and a guy was just standing in the door of the bathroom going, hey, what do you think about that? Let me show you a picture of my Cadillac.
Nope.
I'm like, I just, let me get the food.
We got a 4.5 hour game
on
in front of us. We're going to have lots of time to do this.
Yes.
So, now, did we have some fans come as well?
Yes, we had James and Stephanie.
They had fun?
Oh, they were great. Yeah, I gave them the tour. They were a nice couple. They were good. They were cool. They hung in. People are cool with them. They signed up for the Corolla newsletter, CorollaNewsletter.com, and they won, and they were nice. And Our fans, I know everyone says this, but our fans are great. The cruises, all the stuff, they're always a great couple.
Indeed.
Always a great hang, some kind of professional something, mm-hmm. something. And they get it. It's not like, oh, the fan has to come in and kind of not
upset you know, the apple cart.
Yeah, or just be, you wouldn't be able to spot the fan
who was
cool. there. So that was good. Football stuff. I talked to Andrew Yang.
Oh, Yang.
Speaking of football stuff,
I got on the phone with him last week because I was driving home from Palm Springs with Mike August, and Mike was. I said to him, you know, I think Chris had been going back and forth with Yang's guy. And it just wasn't really coming through. And I kept getting tweets like, hey, you got to interview Andrew Yang. That guy's cool and blah, blah, blah. And I've heard bits and pieces, got a good sense of humor. I like a lot of the stuff he's saying. I'm into it. I want to do it. And his crew, the Yang Gang, or his fans, there's potential supporters, they're really into it. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, I know this guy. I want to have a good conversation with this guy. So I had this fleeting thought, or not fleeting, but I had this thought of when I saw Tucker Carlson, he said, oh, Andrew Yang, yeah, that guy's a good guy. He's a friend, or some version of that. Mm-hmm. I then told Mike, find the text that Tucker sent me a couple of weeks ago, just saying it had fun, thanks for the dinner, whatever, and send him, you can go get my phone, Max Pata, but I said, send him Tucker a thing. Now, it was Friday, and it was Friday about, it was about 3 o'clock, and I was kind of doing the math. Like, I was like, does he do his show? Did he do his shows on at 5 out here, and then repeats at like 8, I think. And then, so he must do it at 8 or a little before 8. I don't know how, I don't know when he tapes, but I was starting to think of where, when you shoot, the Tucker Carlsons or the Jimmy Kimmels attacks, you always, on a weekday, you always think, where are they? What are they doing? Are they sitting at their desk looking at cue cards? Are they going over a walkthrough?
Standing in front of an audience?
A bit. Sure. Are they out doing something right now? So he fired him off a text, and I think Tucker got back within like 10 minutes. And Tucker was like, oh, yeah, here's Yang's, whatever. And then he fired something off to Yang's, like, hey, my friend Adam wants to talk to you, blah, blah, blah. And then Yang was like, oh, okay, here's my number. And then I just called him. Yeah. I got home. I the whole thing transpired over the course of about 25 minutes.
Nice.
And then I got home, and I just called him, and he just picked up the phone.
As Lena would say, it doesn't have to be hard.
Yeah.
There are people who are employed to make it hard, you know, those barriers.
Yes, it's
gatekeepers, as they are.
Andrew Yang was incredibly nice. He said, oh, I'm a big fan of yours. That would be awesome to talk.
I had no idea you'd want to get
right.
Hold of
I was
me.
Like, yes, thank you. He said, good. And yeah, we should do this. And he just had a nice chat. Do you have the text? Sorry.
Yeah. Do you want just when Tucker brought you both in together? Or do you want asking Tucker?
We got to ask, do the ask, and then his response, I think.
All right. So, by the way, you got to save Tucker's number in your phone. You just see it's still his numbers here. But anyway, hey, you mentioned that you know Andrew Yang. Love to get a sit down or on the phone with a major fan of his. Your shows have been great as usual. Tucker. Absolutely. He's still doing the run for president thing, so I can't vouch for his responsiveness. Want me to connect you by text? Adam. Sure, and thanks. Looking forward to seeing our segments. And then now Tucker puts you guys into a
little group chat.
I tried to call Andrew in the group chat, but I didn't know how to do it.
Yeah.
Because I hit it, and now it's tarring both of them.
Yeah, that's cute.
I see a FaceTime ended and call ended within this group chat.
I tried to hit the Andrew one, but then I was calling Tucker, too, and I was like, this one-on-one, it's not an orgy.
But anyway, Tucker. Andrew, I've copied my friend Adam Carolla, who's got one of the biggest and best podcasts in the world. He's a fan of yours, so thought it'd be worth connecting you. Hope you're enjoying the hell out of Iowa. I love that church choir video, by the way. Amazing. Andrew, thanks, Tucker. Hello, Adam. Fan of yours and appreciate the support. Thumbs up emoji. And then I see a FaceTime call ended from you and Tucker.
Yeah, that was me.
And yeah, and then you guys got on the phone after that.
Yeah, I know. It's either fucking impossible with some people. It's just they won't give out other people. Like there are other people that are like, I won't mention any names, but there are people where you go, hey, celebrity guy over here, could you get me this guy's info? I want to pass something along. And they go, let me check. Right. You know, they go, I don't know. I don't feel comfortable. And it's like, why is it? What do you think I'm going to do? Like, why do you? The person knows me. I'm asking, you know, this weird. It's kind of like that thing in Hollywood where they go, I got an idea for a reality show, but I can't talk about it. Like, or you could just. Do Tucker or do Leno. It's just so easy. Yeah. Just go right back. Here you go. Talking to him on the phone 10 seconds later. And so we will get that. We will get up and running with that. All right. Max Pata, do we want to do – how many breaks do we have? We don't have a break here?
No.
Okay.
Break.
We got you got your sports ball tweets, Brian?
I got some sports ball tweets.
Licking my chops.
Now set the table for this one more time, please.
Well, okay, so Super Bowl Sunday is one of the biggest days of the year for many industries. It's the most watched television event of the year by far, at least in the U.S. I can't speak for the entire world. There are a certain there's a strong, small, certain segment of hipsters out there who love to take to Twitter on Super Bowl Sunday and proudly proclaim their ignorance, nay, their defiance over Super Bowl Sunday, and how so many of these people are into, like, I'm really into pop culture. I love all things pop culture. But right. They somehow don't have any time for the biggest pop culture event of the year.
Right. Now, where do we draw the line between the people who pretend it doesn't exist or the ones that make sport of, I hear something, there's something. I saw a David Wilde tweet that said, like, there's a game. Evidently, there's, like, some kind of game. But after that,
he was promoting a show.
Masked Singer.
Right. There's some kind of little game on before the Masked Singer round. Now, is that what we're talking about? Or is that a version of what we're talking about?
It's a version. That's why you keep me around. To go through all of these. I got hundreds of tweets. Thank you to everyone who tweeted me with the hashtag sportsball. There were so, so many. This is a good year for sportsball tweets. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I separated the wheat from the chaff. Some of these are the David Wilde tweets of the world. If it's a comedian making a joke, or if it's like, you know, David Wilde promoting a TV show, it's kind of tongue in cheek. He's kind of playing on the idea. These are all genuine people who have disdain for the idea of the Super Bowl, or disinterest, or proudly proclaim ignorance. Let's get into it.
Let's do it.
The first batch we have, the corporate, a lot of corporate entities getting into the sports ball this year. Steakums got into
Delicious
sports ball.
Steakums.
Simply posted sports.
Okay.
Steakums.
Remember those?
The Oregon Zoo decided to post no party, like a suburb owl party, which is kind of on brand, but
did
the Oregon Zoo need to weigh in? Giordano's Pizza, of all things. Why are so many people ordering pizza today? Is something happening?
Oh, yeah. See, that's what I'm talking about.
And even the Everett Silvertips, a minor league hockey team based out of Everett, Washington, posted, anything happening today?
Hey. You know, here's the impulse that everyone must resist, and there's nothing worse than being busted on it. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like when you're 22 and you meet somebody named Mickey and you go, oh, it's Mickey Mouse. And they go, yeah, you don't think I've...
Yeah, but...
People are going to believe the nickname I came up with.
A buddy named Lou.
Right. Yeah, like, this is your first impulse is, oh, we're going to make this joke. Yeah. And the second one is wait a minute, this is totally fucked out.
Yeah,
everyone must have made this one.
Yeah. So I was funny. I haven't actually mentioned this to Christy, and we can ask her when she comes in here. But I think what's happening in the corporate world is, I think there's an obsession with, we have to be part of the conversation. We have to be relevant today. Today's the day. But then it's always the most, like you said, the most basic, first, knee jerk, like, sports ball.
Right.
So you're compelled to do something, and that's where we end up. Lots of comedians making jokes. Micah McKean, yeah, I got a lot of sports ball with him. Kathy Griffin, but they're making jokes. You know what I mean? They're aping on this whole thing. Doug Benson, of course, a perennial all-star. Although Doug's wasn't so much a joke.
Go teams. Yeah, again, my feeling is, it's like if somebody said, I want to do a sketch on SNL. It's a sleazy lounge singer. I just kind of go, well, find, fix something. And they go, no, but I'm really good at it. I just go, yeah, but it's just been done.
Yeah,
so
can we find a better
so many times.
Avenue.
It's just something else.
Yeah.
That's my thing. It's just like these takes, the generic takes on the game that everyone is aware of, I just find it to be been there and done that a little. Yeah.
So let's get into the actual sports ball. The best of the best, the eight best sports ball tweets I was copied on this year. The runners-up include, of course, perennial all-star Zooey Deschanel. She's not a big sports gal over here. Go football, win the points.
You know why she tweeted that?
Why is that?
As a woman, I can tell you. Because she looks super cute in it, and she's holding her rosé, and she has a little helmet.
She posted a picture of her.
You find a way to make the tweet happen when you have a cute picture like that. I mean,
right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But this is the kind of tweet you'd expect from Zooey. Perfect. Exactly what we're looking for in sports ball. Not as fun. Someone you know, I was made aware that you know, Kat Timpf. She was on Adam and Drew, apparently. She's a friend of Dr. Drew's. She is a reporter for the National Review. And her tweet goes, honestly, the Super Bowl might just be my favorite day of the year, not because I like football, but because I can't stand it. After today, I'm free from it for a while. I imagine this is how it feels to be in the last day of a fad diet slash stint in a maximum security prison. Gina, you're not a huge football fan.
Not huge,
You're not even a little football fan.
Not really.
You do a show with a couple of guys who really like football and talk about it a lot.
Yeah.
Do you feel like it is so omnipresent that you can't escape football and now that football season's over, you're released from prison?
No, because I like hearing people talk about things that they like and also we talk about other things as well. So we're all good.
We are blurring the lines in our new world order of oppression and can't escape. This isn't a serious tweet, but this thing where it's like, we're being pushed, held back, or I'm being crushed by this or that. It's like, I don't know, why go through that? Why go through the world that way?
Or like, just go to Griffith, have a hike instead.
Yeah, there's so much out there that I'm not into, but I don't feel like it's holding me hostage.
Right.
I don't like 13-year-old chick music pumped into every public place I'm at. That's bothersome.
That is omnipresent. You can't get away from it.
That is omnipresent. Yes. All right. Sorry.
All right, Gina, would you save me some breath and read these? I'm not trying to catch you on anything. But,
aren't you?
The next one's from Susan Aaliyah McNeil. She is a New York Times bestselling novelist, and she has a short and sweet one about PBS.
Is there some sports ball game thing on tonight? I'll be catching up with Sanded On, PBS, # football is really bad for athletes' health.
That strong, strong hashtag there at the end.
No one ever does the math.
Stick the landing.
Nobody does the math on what so many of these guys would be doing and how much they'd be getting paid an hour if, in fact, they were employed.
And the residual effects on their families.
And they're being made millionaires doing this thing. This sort of weird thing where it's like, well, they should just all go to Brown and get a chemical engineering degree and not save their brain.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know what most of these guys from the worst parts of Florida would be up to if not for this?
And most of them wouldn't be making millions. Most of them would not be making millions.
I just love this sort of painting of, oh, yeah, but what about the health whatever? Or then they go, well, nothing's worth this, that, or the other. It's like, well, these guys made a decision, and they made a decision to be millionaires.
Well, Bree Newsom-Bass takes it to a whole new level. She is an activist, writer, producer, artist, consultant.
You may
know her best. She climbed the flagpole in South Carolina and took down the flag. This is her.
Yeah.
Okay. The Super Bowl is the high holy day of white supremacist capitalism in America, co-sponsored by the NFL, the ad industry, and the military-industrial complex. That's why Kaepernick is banned for protesting police brutality, and Jay-Z had to be paid to lead a campaign of historical erasure.
I want to be at that party with her.
Yeah, me too.
This is a thread, by the way. This goes on for four or five.
More.
Oh, my gosh.
Do you think her dip, like her bean dip container shaped like a half a football or a football helmet? Or it could be a sombrero.
Yeah, upside down. Oh, no, the right side up with
along
the
side.
That's a cute display.
Yeah. That's fun.
I'm curious.
She might have both.
Oh, well, maybe both.
Party. All right, the next one's from Nancy Jo Sayles. Nancy Jo Sayles is a New York Times bestselling author and director. Gina?
What is football? What are cheerleaders? How do they connect to misogyny, militarism, and rape culture? Are we allowed to ask these questions today? When Americans are enjoying their bread and cheeses, dishes and beer, not unless we want to have our throats slit.
Fun.
Who's... You're not allowed. I always like the, in a, today's oppressive culture, repressive culture, and it's like, well, you're sending stuff out left and right.
Yeah.
When are there someone banging at your door as you're feverishly typing in your phone? Like you
to come collect you?
Jackbooted thugs out there with the battering, Daryl Gates' battering ram. You got to send out this tweet or you just... Happily tweeting everything out all the time with no problemo.
No fear of the gulag.
We're getting thousands of likes. You know, people like these tweets.
Well, okay. What do we do about the cheerleader? So the cheerleaders, that's misogyny in a bygone era and oppressive militarism and all that stuff.
They're forced to do it.
But then what is Shakira and J-Lo? Why is that empowering? They're wearing... cut crotch shit and kicking their feet all over. I mean, it's the same sex.
It's essentially
just,
the same
essentially
thing.
Just bringing the physical.
One was literally on a pole.
Right. So are we empowered by J-Lo and then disempowered by the cheerleaders or how's that work? And look, if you're not for cheerleaders, then you can't be for J-Lo either. I'm for everything.
Cheerleaders.
I would
delicious.
Eat those. Yeah.
Good.
Cheerleaders are cheering for men. J-Lo cheering for herself.
Wow, big.
All right.
That's a
cheerleaders.
All right, God, Nancy Joe Sales.
Top three
By the
right
way,
now.
I go Nancy No Sales.
Come on.
This chick's a full-blown bummer fest. God damn, I should introduce her to my mom. You guys could just talk about the military-industrial complex and rape culture. I like the culture of rape. Like, I just sit next to guys on bus stops. How's the rape going? Good. How about you?
Part of the
Slow
culture.
Slow rape day. Let's drink some beers and rape. It's a medium. I'm hoping it'll pick up a little when the streetlights come on, you know. That's when I kind of hit my zone. Yeah. That's when I got to get a couple cups of coffee. I mean, yeah, with the rape culture. And then I'm going to head down to the armory. I'm going to take the military-industrial complex and a rape culture. I like to combine them.
Of course.
Like a Reese's peanut butter cup. I'm going down to the armory. I'm going to do some raping later. You want to come with? Or
sounds
hang
good.
Out?
All right. Anything else going on?
Nancy and your mom can sit around and fret.
Yeah, they could sit and fret together.
Bring their hands.
All right, top three time. This is the real championship rounds.
Okay.
I don't know if you guys got it's probably not on the screenshot. This has like 13,000 likes, and this is the number one most tweeted to me sports ball tweet from Julia Ioffe. I'm going to say Mr. Yaffe, Ioffe. She's a correspondent for GQ. Her Twitter bio says, good night. No, Twitter bio. The pinned tweet from 2016 on her Twitter account says, good night, tomorrow will be worse.
Oh.
So Gina, without that being said, why don't you read, Julia's.
I am proud to announce that I don't know who's in the Super Bowl tonight, nor do I care to find out.
Right down the middle, right to the point, right to the heart of the matter.
Also, this is just what you want in a journalist, right?
I was going to say, like, Men's Magazine.
I'm not interested in the biggest event of the year.
Yeah. Are you blowing the lid off of things or screwing the lid onto things? Like, I also like the super angry journalists who aren't into what's actually going on.
Proudly proclaiming.
Right.
Proudly
right.
advertising.
Right. Yeah.
Very odd. This next one would have been number one had it not been for a great number one. It's from a guy named Michael Marshall Smith. He's a writer out of Santa Cruz, which of course is in the Bay Area.
I live in the Bay Area, and it has come to my attention that our local sport ball troupe has become involved in some form of major advertising competition or concert or whatnot, so I'm assuming the day will mainly be about that.
I mean, he ticks off so many boxes. Yeah. Sports ball, the troupe.
He really did it.
So much better than everybody.
Dismissively calling it an advertising competition.
All us clods.
It's good.
Aimlessly drinking beer and enjoying a game. He knows Michael knows so much better than our.
He would have been a champion in almost any other year.
Yeah.
Had it not been.
Did you say what he did for a living? It's usually in the bio.
A writer.
He's a writer, yeah. Oh, okay. He's a writer from Santa Cruz. So if had it not been for...
Oh, that's... I mean, how do you beat that?
You're going to... This one has so many layers, and I'm going to hope some of them are intentional, but either way, they're amazing. There's a man named Art Tavana. Art is a LA Weekly contributor. I don't know if he's currently or formerly. They had a whole bunch of turnover with their writers. Important to note, in his bio, he calls himself a student of pop. Student of popular culture. Let's see what the student of popular culture had to say.
With an Andy Warhol picture. I rather watch Andy Warhol eat a hamburger than watch the mindlessly corporate mass idiocy that is the Super Bowl.
He posted a picture of Andy Warhol eating a hamburger in a Super Bowl ad.
Yeah,
he used
that
a
was
Super Bowl
commercial.
Ad to drive home his point about how mass idiocy the Super Bowl advertising is.
You know, as somebody who studies pop culture, if you wanted to know exactly where we were at as a nation at any given time, all you'd have to do is watch any given Super Bowl. You know where we're at from the halftime show, from the advertisements, from the hairstyles, from the gowns.
The cheerleaders.
We know if it was the 90s or it was this year or it was the 40s. I mean, they didn't have Super Bowl in the 40s, but the championship games. Like, you know how the guys were dressed, how the women are dressed. You know everything. So if you study
people
pop culture.
People wearing suits.
Yes. This is all the pop culture we can squeeze into 4 hours.
That's good.
The irony of I'd rather watch Andy Warhol eat a hamburger. In order to do that, you would have been having to watch the Super Bowl last year.
Now, Brian, was there an honorable mention, assuming this was on purpose and just to be funny, with President Trump congratulating Kansas on their win?
No, that was a kind of an ironic adjacent sports ball tweet. As a guy who I doubt very much cares about sports, but Art Tavana is our winner. I'll be contacting Art and making a contribution charitable to his charity of choice.
Thank you. Great job. Christy's here. We're going to break down the Super Bowl commercials, and we'll do that right after this.
Just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from ACS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
Hey, Corolla fans, Mike Dawson here. I got good news and bad news. Bad news first, we're almost done with this month's sales of Adam's Monthly Nut. Good news is, you'll still be able to get all the incredible products from Wallet Ninja after this month's Adam's Monthly Nut. Head to walletninja.com to get your fully customizable, American-made credit card multi-tools that'll fix glasses, open bottles, peel fruit, and save the goddamn day. A big thank you to Wallet Ninja for this month. We'll see you in February for another shipment of Adam's Monthly Nut. It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hey, Ace Person. This is Shane from Santa Barbara, California. Why does two honks on the car horn sound much more friendly than just the one honk? Love the show.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
I think, never thought about it, I think it's the honk your relatives give when they're leaving in their car after Thanksgiving or Christmas. The
toot-toot.
That's the down the street.
Yeah, thanks
that's
for
not
having
the
us.
Get out of the way. Still bothers the shit out of me because I always head outside. Like, what do they want? And then I see their taillights. But I think the two is the signal of people love you leaving and
like
you being
that.
Elated.
It's the honk that Brian gives to everyone, followed by 10 other honks.
That's right.
I like
rage.
That.
Yeah. Pure rage.
I'm aggressive.
Does Brian honk for you?
Oh, yes.
Oh, I love that.
He leaned over the other day and did four honks. Like,
oh,
aggressive.
Really? I love that.
Where the person looks in the mirror like massive F you to me. And I was like,
no,
I did nothing.
I did.
You got to get out of the car and get in the back seat.
No,
you can't be responsible for that.
And it was for something so innocuous that, like, a red light, not a red light, it was a stoplight that turned, and the guy had half a second to go, and Brian was like, come on!
I love that. You move
that's
it along.
So unnecessary.
All right. So, executive vice president of brands, and you know, you've been around. You know these commercials.
I'm
you've
old, Adam.
Seen them.
Been around.
Well,
I've been around.
As a cagey veteran of the, what street is that? Was Wall Street.
Madison Avenue.
Yeah, I was putting a street behind it. I was putting an avenue. So tell us the commercials you thought were the winners.
So, what did you guys think? Before I go, do we give overall an A to Super Bowl ads this year? Before I get into it.
All right. I didn't feel like they brought the funny this time to the point where they brought it in the past.
Like the Chiefs themselves, the Super Bowl commercials like started off slow. Like the first couple breaks were like, that's it. Yeah, that's all they got.
There were some
and then by
stuff.
The end, there were some like real highlights.
Yeah, yeah, I don't want to spoil anything because I'm looking at your breakdown. My two favorite commercials, I think, are your two favorite commercials.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. We'll get into it. So this year, just some fun facts for people. So the media buy, that means in order to buy 30 seconds worth of advertising airtime during the Super Bowl, cost $5.6 million. That's up 400K from last year.
Does that change based on positioning? Like if you want that first commercial break versus halftime?
It changes versus length, according to length. So if you want a 60 second, then you're going to double that 5.6. So it's the highest that people have ever paid, which is wild. But it does give you a return of about eight times the regular audience that you would get on TV. So that's why brands still do it. 100 million people watch, so a lot of people in the audience. But I think, should we start with the A-list?
Sure.
I just did an A-list, like a B-list and a D-list. Honest to God, Jeep was my favorite. I love Jeep.
Yeah.
I really love Jeep. Bill Murray, Groundhog Day.
It was on Groundhog Day.
Yes.
I mean, it's perfect.
Because it was Groundhog Day. We can watch it.
Yeah.
It's his first and last commercial in the U.S., according to him.
Ned Ryerson.
Yep. They brought him back.
It was a better use of a movie than The Shining.
Yes.
Yes. Agreed.
Brian Doyle Murray.
That's different.
Yeah.
And to get Bill Murray, it's a little bit of a coup, too.
Right. Look, I want a groundhog. Like, look, he's driving.
And it's a great premise that, if I do this every day, I get to drive this car every day. And
he's like gleeful.
Yeah, it's great. It's great.
He's strapped in.
It's fun.
Yeah, it's really fun. Interestingly, it's a helmet. Better than the avocado helmet.
At the end.
Yes.
Right.
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 So the,
yeah, you get the feeling that Bill Murray wouldn't do something that wasn't creative and interesting.
No, and I love the very end. I was following you. So the reason that this gets an A is because it's a 60 second, it's long, but they told a story with it. They made sense. It was Groundhog Day. So like, let's give them that. The fact that they were able to like nail Bill Murray into this. And Brian and I were talking about it before, like how many brands or agencies were like, let's get Bill Murray, let's do a reboot. And he's like, no, I'm not doing commercials in the U.S. because a lot of times actors don't want to sell out in the U.S. But it was perfect. They built a narrative. It was hysterical. The groundhog was funny. And the tagline for Jeep was amazing. No day is the same in a Jeep Gladiator.
Yeah.
So it all came together.
Yep.
Can I ask you a question? Because I'll brag on Christy a little bit. She did a Super Bowl commercial, a really good one a few years ago for Jaguar. And you know about negotiating with talent. With Bill Murray, you have to get Bill Murray for this commercial. You will not work with anyone else. Otherwise, the whole thing falls apart if he doesn't get it.
It can't just be Steven Tobolowsky.
Right, exactly. Whereas if you get...
He's a nice to have.
Where other brands can, we want this guy, but if we don't get him, we get this guy. Like, how do the negotiations work when you're dealing with just the guy who's got you over the barrel, so to speak?
Well, he has you over the barrel. The concept completely.
Yeah, you have to cut back the drawing board.
Exactly right. You start over. They're putting all their eggs in one basket. Typically, you have an executive who's like, my wife's daughter, son, blah, 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 like plays baseball with his kids, and it's like, great, perfect, go to his agent.
But I imagine you just get... you'd have to get Dan Aykroyd, and then you'd have to do Ghostbusters.
Yeah, right.
Like you'd have to go find a different theme.
I'm sure that they had multiple like backup concepts just in case, but I'm sure that they started this. Well, you would imagine they started it months and months ago. But I did read something on Ad Age that they filmed this 8 days ago.
Oh.
Wow,
that's crazy.
I mean, it probably just his schedule and getting him in and out, which is interesting. So, my second favorite, also the A-list, maybe it was Gina's, was SmartPak.
Yeah, we showed this one on the show the other day.
Did you?
Very cute,
super cute. There were multiple automotive advertisers this year, and you probably noticed, Adam, all the e-tron from Audi, all the electric, everything's electric. Because of federal regulations mandating that the OEMs, the automotive companies, have to go electric by, I think it's like 2028.
They're Ford had a Mustang, I think, commercial, which doesn't look like a Mustang, but it's kind of cool. As I was looking, I thought, am I biased? But I think in general, the car commercials are just a higher grade. Mm-hmm. There's something going on. I like the Genesis commercial with John Legend
and
like, it's just a kind of higher grade.
Well, what are the big four in advertising? It's liquor and cars and something.
Yeah, and like CPG goods, those types of things. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and mobile.
Yeah,
for sure. So the Genesis ad, shout out to my old colleague, Milan Ravel. He will freak out because he and I did the Jaguar Super Bowl ad together.
Right.
And he went back to that. So I do have to say that ad without Chrissy Teigen and John Legend doesn't work because it's a direct ripoff of the Audi strategy from a few years ago, which was old luxury, like has been put on notice. I don't feel like Mercedes or, I mean, tell me what you think, Adam, but Mercedes, BMW, the Audis of the world, I don't feel like they stand for old luxury anymore. Mm. I feel like it's a different, like the definition of new luxury is Chrissy Teigen and John Legend.
Yeah, I agree. The commercial I liked because it has a thing that I always like when they're talking about like plastic surgery woman or guy who's always patting someone on the back guy. Right. I always like the guy woman. Yeah. Who are these people?
The
I don't like them. You know, Genesis is doing really interesting stuff. They're kind of doing what, you know, Lexus was doing with Toyotas. Mm-hmm. They're getting away from the Hyundai brand mm-hmm. and into their own brand. And the car looked cool. And I don't know. I was like, I thought it was effective. I realized I love the hat ponytail pulled through the hole in the back of the hat guy. Like, yeah, I hate those guys. So those... It could always be a little better, but...
But the sexiest man alive pull at the end was good.
Yeah, that was good.
It was funny, yeah. And they, so same agency also did the Sonata, Hyundai Sonata, Smart Pack, both done by InOcean.
Yeah, good. So that whole Boston dialect thing's like a little effed out, but still funny.
So, but they executed it well.
They executed it well, and whether it's irritating or not, the celebrities were funny.
Yep.
I think the feature Smart Pack, so basically like making it not the marketing.
Yeah, and I always think about language. Rachel Dratch. Dan Dratch was at my Super Bowl party, so I was always good to hang out with Dan, who wrote for The Man Show a million years. He's been a friend for a long time, but Rachel Dratch is hung in.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
She's
I mean,
good.
She, there is a thing when some of those ladies leave SNL,
yep.
some of them are never to be heard from again. And she wasn't I don't think you would have put a lot of smart money on her hanging out when she left.
She like, wasn't the type, no, but she's good.
She's good. But sometimes with the ladies, that doesn't.
Falls off.
Well,
then,
she knows her type and was perfect casting for this. It was
she's
super
just,
the Haba?
Just,
the Haba.
Just when you think she's kind of, what's she been up to? She's something. Oh, she's on Hulu and whatever thing or whatever. Like, just she just goes away. Yeah. Her and Alex Borstein, like, they just like they kind of went away, but every time they go away, they come right back.
Come back stronger.
Oh, they come back stronger.
Okay,
that's
so,
right.
So let's keep moving because we got to crank. Right. So speaking of car ads, just because it's you and I love this, I'm very curious about what you thought of Porsche's ad, the heist.
I love. Visually, Porsches. I love that they had like a vintage 917, like a Golf 917 in there. Like
I saw the Golf livery.
Kind of one that Steve McQueen would use.
It's the Porsche Museum in Germany.
Mans,
in Germany.
Blah, blah, blah.
I think it's beautifully done.
Yeah.
And it's fun.
Yeah.
Very James Bond-esque.
I
love the litany of cars, like the range of their old vehicles and new vehicles. And I love that it actually ends with like electric.
And just the right amount of humor for a commercial like this with the tractor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
It's fun. I mean, the tagline at the end, finally an electric car that steals you. Like, it's they're doing something different with electric, which I thought was cool.
Yeah, I agree. I have three Porsches now, and I've realized it's a serious culture.
Oh, for sure.
And they're really into their brand. And I know everyone's into their brand, but I'm just saying, it's like, they put the key's on the left,
yeah.
You gotta turn the key, like that, those are the rules.
It's a little cultish, but in a good
it's
way.
Yeah, it's a little, I gotta tell you, man, their fans are cultish.
They're rabid,
They're like juggalos with money.
Oh, no, yes. Run!
Like if juggalos had a degree law or medicine, that's who they are, or engineering.
So,
I mean, they are fucking dedicated, those
they
people.
They are dedicated. And so that ad was, it's a 60, was done by an agency called Kramer Cressel. I think it's really well done. It could have fallen in the middle, kind of the B list, but I thought it was like, it stood out in a sea of, that and Hummer, I think stood out in a sea of just electric cars.
Yeah, well, again, and maybe it's the car guys have so many reps doing commercials that their muscles are good for when showtime, the big game rolls around. But I thought all the car stuff worked pretty nicely.
I did too. The first ad in the entire game, finally, I was like, finally a good one. Like, what's happening? Was the one for Rocket Mortgage with Jason Momoa.
Yeah. That
so
was
he
good.
Goes home.
Yes.
It's funny.
Yeah.
We were all like, oh, right. He's sexy. Oh, look. What's home? It's where I feel most comfortable.
It's my sanctuary.
My sanctuary.
Huge
it's the
muscles.
One place.
Yeah. Do you remember this or not?
No, I don't.
Guard down.
Let my guard down.
Oh, did he have like riser boots on?
Yeah. Kick back and be totally comfortable in my own skin.
Yeah.
Taking off his muscles.
He's ripping off his muscles.
Oh, that's great.
At home.
I love this.
Where he's pulling all his muscles off.
Oh, that's upsetting.
The CGI is not great.
It's
pretty darn good.
But that was part of the joke, though. I think it has to be a little bad.
Yeah.
Took his hair off.
Yeah, see,
this is upsetting.
I'll tell you, the only thing that bumped me on this spot is if you run it, Max Zapata, when he tears off his first left arm, the way they did it is the arm that was away from you he was swinging back when he tore it off, and it looked like he took his arm off.
Yeah, his whole arm.
Yeah,
yeah.
Right there.
Yeah, yeah,
it was just
yeah,
a millisecond where it swung back, and I thought it bummed because, like, oh, he's tearing his arms off.
But that's why the CGI is not great, because literally the whole you can see where it kind of poofs
what
out.
What I'm kind of saying is I would have started with the right arm to
establish
show what
it.
We were doing.
Right. Yeah.
I had to reboot. Like, I was like, he tore his arm off. And then I was like, what? No, he's still
he's
got the one arm.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's skinny. Like, it made a out of it. What it did is it took this great run, but it was a stumble out of the gate because he did it right on the backswing, and it would have been as easy as doing the lead arm or the arm closest to you.
Oh, this is where it's going. Yeah.
Right.
Well, footnote one, I don't see on your list, but the part we were at, we had a great reaction was the Sam Elliott.
For Doritos.
Nas X.
And we all agreed that the mustache dance, which was amazing,
should
have gone at the end. That was the closer. That's drop the hammer.
Wait, do we like that commercial, or do we think it's so dumb that we like it?
I thought it was hysterical.
I liked it. I really liked it.
Oh, this
yeah,
is...
Yeah, I added the
Did you see this one?
This is... What's the singer's name?
Lil Nas X.
He's Old Town Road.
It's all about...
Yeah.
Which is why Billy Ray Cyrus makes an appearance.
And yes, love the end.
Right.
And I should have been last.
Right. No, I love it up front. Because he can't compete. It's a dance-off.
Right.
I like when the horse at the end is like, nope.
Is he gay?
Yes. Oh, Sam Elliott?
Sam Elliott?
No, sorry.
Very much.
Although,
yes.
He could do it. All right, they're just
dancing.
Funny,
yeah.
I ask something really quick? Because I don't see it on the list, and I'm scared. Mm. And I didn't see it last night. I wasn't paying attention. Speaking of the horse, was there not a Budweiser commercial that we cared about?
There were Bud Light commercials.
There was definitely Budweiser. There was one where he put the thing right in front of the camera.
Wasn't Budweiser the, like...
It was
all Americans, or it was all.
Yeah, it was like a King of Beer.
No, there wasn't a Clydesdale.
That's what I was looking for. Okay,
no, they went a different route, and I didn't research it, but I remember reading about it.
Wasn't it that memorable?
No, it was like all of what's that, Chris?
They had the Post Malone, the Bud Light Seltzer commercial.
Yeah, I was waiting for Clydesdale.
Terrible.
All right, Christy, our guest is here, so tell us the one you hated the most, and we'll move it along.
Good God. Okay. So there's a little one that I really hated, and I'll just give it a quick thank. Quibi, the bank heist. It was like
it was the
third
very first
ad.
Commercial.
It was awful. It was the like the guys running out bank heist, and they're like, hold on, I'll be there in 10 minutes. I'm watching a cool video on streaming, and it's for a service that doesn't even exist yet. It launches in April.
Quibi,
anyway,
right?
Yeah, like
the 10 minute movies. Yeah.
So that, I hated that, but I really hated.
Clumsy, goofy, like middle aged white. Bank robber guys. I'm getting burnt out on them. Like, who are these goofy, dorky, like middle-aged
mystery?
These are like soccer dads. Like, I don't
We've
know. Do something a little more interesting.
I meant to look it up, but that trope has been in other commercials. You know, they're waiting for the getaway driver, and he's doing something with a product.
They had that with like Jason Bourne years ago.
Every commercial effed out a million times. But they're also like they're middle-aged sort of dads.
Dad bod. Yeah, it's horrible. Is that Harry
Shearer? Right. You take a look at the main guy. He's like a 46-year-old accountant. Like, they have gray hair and glasses and a beard. Like, I don't know why these are the new bank heist
guys.
Not a lot
of old bank robbers.
And I forget, Chance, of course, then they have like this tiny cameo from Chance the Rapper at the end, who did the Doritos ad last year with the Backstreet Boys, and that was spectacular. I'm like, Chance, what are you doing? Probably got paid a lot. Anyway, so if we're talking about what I really hated, okay. Procter & Gamble, they're like, we have so much money, we're just going to put every single ad and every single mascot and every single celebrity we can possibly do in this one ad.
Right.
With Sofia Vergara, the chili flies. It's funny, but there's like no story.
She slips, she throws the chili,
chili goes
the
everywhere
fan.
In the fan. It gets some laughs, but if I'm looking at a formula, I get it. Yeah, you're clean. You use Old Spice, fine. Oh no, it's terrible. What are we gonna do? Like on the nose.
The gimmick is
on the nose.
It's a bit desperately random.
Yeah, it just doesn't like. There's no rhyme or reason.
I did enjoy Regal.
Yeah, this is funny. Like this
Rob
is funny.
Regal. Yeah.
Shooting paper towels at people.
Everybody, hurry!
And like Mr. Clean made two cameos, but not for Mr. Clean.
Right.
Here we are. Olay's back. Oh, that was a terrible ad too. Olay was horrible.
Yeah, that was a weird one too.
I'm not allowed to say that as a woman, but I really did not like that ad.
Febreze.
It just, when we all come together, it's amazing.
And like Troy Polamalu was there. Like, what? Why?
Yeah.
It's confusing.
I get it.
It was crowdsourced. Like, I went online beforehand. They're like, the Super Bowl's very first interactive ad. And so it could be like, can we clean this up together or do we need backup? And you have to click through it. And they say that enhanced the ad or informed what the ad was. It just wasn't, it wasn't good.
And that's a good example of leaving it to the professionals.
Right.
Don't crowdsource it.
A few of them got pretty cluster effy at some point. Where there's like, look, you also have to understand, most people have had a couple of beers, and there's lots of cross-chat going on. It's not as if we're sitting on a folding chair drinking tap water 3 feet from the TV.
Unless you're me.
But if this thing is a Super Bowl party, most people can't process all that is going on.
It's all overstimulation. That ad was crazy overstimulation. But if I look at, like, Recall, I just think of, like, Procter & Gamble and a total cluster F. Like, I don't think of anything exciting.
All right. Let's bring it home, Christy. I don't know how we bring it home. Commercial Grade is the podcast available on Apple Podcasts and Pardon My Crumbs as well on Twitter as well. All right. Let me just hit Pepsi over here like a Super Bowl ad. New Year is here. Everyone's got all their resolutions. I got all my resolutions. And Pepsi wants to usher in a new decade a little differently by encouraging everyone to just do what they enjoy, be unapologetic. You want to... Well, we used to say sit around and watch the game, and now we got to wait till the next year. But we got basketball games, and we got playoffs coming up, and we got so much to go. And we're go out and drive a car, man. I'm going to go do some car racing this year. I'm going to be loud. I'm going to burn a couple of fossil fuel drops, and I'm going to do my thing, man. And when you're doing that, everything just falls away. Pepsi, what I like, everyone. So go out, enjoy yourself a little Pepsi. Keila Hughes is here. She's a great story, and I'm going to share that with you in a very detailed one-on-one, and then I'll also then we'll do the news right after this.